You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
Celebrate friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest with the all-new Pixar-themed fireworks spectacular and your favorite park parades. Celebrate from April 13th through September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
You got a friend in me.
Entertainment subject to change without notice.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
That's right. You're listening to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we are so thrilled that you are with us today because we have what we think is going to be a really fun show. At this time of year at the Fromer Guidebooks, we reach out to all of our guidebook authors. And our authors are all embedded in countries around the world. And we ask them to help us come up with a list of which countries, which destinations, which cities, which towns, which regions people should be visiting the next year. So that'll be for 2018. So our question of the day, we're opening it up to you guys too, is where are you finally going to next year and why? And should other people be going there? Give us a call. Our number is 800-848-WABC. That translates to 800-848-9222. You can also email us. Our email is Fromer Travel Show. That's FROMMER Travel Show at yahoo.com. I keep an eye on Twitter. You can tweet us too. Our handle is at Fromers. So, Jason, is there anywhere you're going to go next year?
Yeah, you know, every year there's a list of places where I really want to go, and then somehow the year ends before I get to them, you know, because there's so much work to be done.
Yeah.
I still say Montana in the summertime is something I'm really dying to do. But, you know, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Nicaragua. A lot of people are saying Nicaragua is having its moment. Hmm. So I am considering putting that on my travel radar. How about you?
Well, I'm going to be traveling there over New Year's, so I don't know if it counts for next year because we'll get there in December, but we'll stay into January. I'm going to Patagonia, so I'm really, really excited about that, a place I've always wanted to go. We're going to go to that island where these penguins, you're surrounded by 10,000 Magellanic penguins, I guess named for the Straits of Magellan. But that should be really, really exciting. We're going to do this famed hike called the W Trek. So believe it or not, Jason, that means I'm going to be sleeping in a tent.
I believe you can sleep in a tent.
Yeah.
But how long is this trek for?
The trek is just 5 days. 5 days.
Oh, that's about right for a trek. And you're going with your family?
Going with my family. My daughter is already in Chile. She's doing something called the National Outdoor Leadership School, which is for young people, although the oldest on her trip is 30, so not so young, but she's the youngest. She's 18. And they go and test themselves against the wilderness and learn leadership skills by mountaineering, and she's going to learn emergency wilderness medicine and ocean kayaking. So at the end of that grueling 3-month experience, she's doing a gap year before she goes to college, we'll get to see her and test our skills against hers, I guess, out in the wilderness. I have a feeling we're going to lose. but so
sounds like a great trip. And of course, if any listeners have ideas for places they want to stop putting off travel to, or they want to get to a place before it's ruined. You know, every year a new crop of hot destinations seems to pop up.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Tell us what you wish you could do, even if you're not definitely planning to do it in 2018. Our number is 800-848-9222. Throw out some ideas. Maybe fellow listeners will be able to steer you in the right direction. listener. Maybe we can.
So we have Vivian on the line from Staten Island. Nice to speak with you, Vivian.
Hi, same here, Pauline, like always. I didn't get your partner's name. I'm very
Jason.
Sorry.
Jason.
Oh, Jason. Okay, oh, definitely next year I'll be going back to Sicily again. Catania,
wow.
A small town. My cousin has a fish restaurant. I go for 3 weeks every other year. I didn't go this year. And you want to know, Pauline, my mind is on there terribly.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. If I could go back to Sicily every other year, I think I would, too. Especially if he has a fish restaurant. Do you just go crazy eating the...
Everything, octopus, sepia with black pasta. Twice a day I eat there, and I stay with them in their house, a beautiful home, right across the Mediterranean Ocean.
Yeah, oh my goodness, how wonderful.
I miss it so badly. I walk around my house like I'm dazed, in a daze. I cook and do things, but my mind is there.
You know, for people who haven't been to Sicily, they might wonder what's so special about it. And I would say there are two things that make Sicily extraordinary. First of all, everybody invaded it. And so you have all of these different strands of history from all over the world. You have the Romans, the Greeks, the North African invaders, the Normans.
Yeah.
And you see their ruins littered all over the island, which makes it so interesting. It's such a grab bag of history there. And I feel like the Sicilians are the most Italian Italians you get.
Yeah.
They speak with their hands even more than Italians on the mainland do. They're warmer, they're funnier, they're friendlier. It's just a magical place.
Yeah, I prefer it better than the north. I wouldn't even go into Rome. I get off at Rome, and then I walk through the airport for the other plane to Catania.
I like Rome, but go ahead,
Jason.
Vivian, what do you like to eat when you're in Sicily? I think people always think of the food in southern Italy. What do you just can't wait to have when you get there?
Well, the black pasta made with sepia, here they make it with squid ink. It's not the same. Over there it's sepia, and then my cousin makes me a plate of octopus salad with lemon oil and garlic.
Mm.
And
it sounds amazing.
The focaccia breads I get also with pepperoni on them, salami, prosciutto.
Sounds great.
They have a variety of food in that restaurant. Anything I want, they tell me just everything.
Well,
anything you want, you can eat. Canotto to drink, aranciata, the orange aid in the bottle.
Ah, you're getting us hungry, Vivian.
I know.
Well, thank you for calling.
That's my fault.
Yeah,
thank you.
Have a great day. Let's talk next to Gene in Beacon, New York. Gene, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I've called before, and I love your show. I really do. It is very informative.
Thanks.
A country, well, you're most welcome. A country I would love to visit is Morocco on the west coast of northern Africa. It's a beautiful, exotic country, Arabic. You know, much of it is Arabic, I believe, which is fine. The diversity of architecture, you've got the Moorish architecture, you've got the Roman architecture in Villa Villas, you've got the modern architecture in Casablanca, I believe. And, you know, the... places like Marrakesh and Fez and...
Have you been, Gene, or is this just what you know about it?
Oh. Never have. The thing that holds me back is the years are creeping up on me, and I find walking to be somewhat difficult, you know.
Ooh,
I realize you do have to walk, and if you...
You really do, and especially in cities like Fez, where you go into the old part of the city... And the streets are not wide enough for cars. And so the only places, the way to get from place to place is to wander through these incredibly disconcertingly complex, narrow alleyways that suddenly turn into streets and then turn back into alleyways.
That's what entices me.
Yeah, but you're going to have to walk a bit there. Jason, have you been to Morocco?
Yeah, I've been to all the places he's named. And yeah, you do need to walk, but... I would also say that, you know, there's people of all ages even living there, and I think you could walk as slowly as you'd like, and people aren't going to give you any trouble. It's not a frenetic place. None of the cities. Tangier's a little more frenetic, but it's a place where I think you could go your own pace, especially since a lot of the places to see in both Marrakesh and Fez are the old markets, the souks, this warren of covered stalls. You can go as slowly as you like there because that's what people do in markets. They go from store to store. So I guess if there's anywhere where it's, you know, you're not going to be run down by everyone trying to join the speed of life, I think Morocco is actually not a bad choice. And Gene, you might as well go now because, you know, we're all getting older and who knows what you're going to feel like in a few years. As long as you feel like you could possibly do it now, you might should take advantage of it now.
One thing, Gene, though, Casablanca, you might want to take off your list. That is kind of a frenetic, not so interesting city. The only interesting thing about it is it has one of the few mosques that non-Muslims are allowed to go into in the country. So that's worth seeing, but there are much
more
interesting
cities. It's an industrial port, though. Yeah. Casablanca is really where you go for shipping. It's not... You will not find Ingrid Bergman there, I promise.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's you won't find Warner Brothers has done either, more for Casablanca than anything else, yeah.
Right, sure.
Yeah, well, have a great time. I hope you go. It's one of my favorite countries. And for anybody who's listening and is worried about safety there, it's incredibly welcoming. It's very safe for outsiders. They have a history, a tradition of hospitality there, and they treat outsiders incredibly well.
Yeah.
And if you have any redecorating to do, oh boy, do you want to go to Morocco. You can just get the most incredible stuff.
Some people who don't want to fly directly into Morocco, which really isn't a problem, but some people still aren't comfortable, you can go to Spain and take a quick ferry across from Gibraltar or Algeciras into Tangiers. Now, Tangiers, because it's right next to Spain, has always had a reputation as sort of, you know, where you go for a lost weekend. And it still has that shabby thing going on, but it's not truly dangerous. But Marrakesh and Fez, if you're planning a trip to Morocco and you have to, can only limit it to one or two destinations, I would make those two the destinations.
Or Essaouira. Essaouira is pretty cool,
if you want
too.
Beachy type stuff. Yeah,
that's gorgeous. All right, we have to take a break. To Olin, we will get back to you as soon as we get back. Let me remind you, we're taking your calls. Our number is 800-848-9222. These commercials are going to fly by. We'll be right back. Imagine lazing the afternoon away on a spa boat in Quebec's historic district, or driving at harvest time through the eastern townships, a storied wine region, tasting superb vintages and watching vintners at work, or biking down country roads with clouds of snow geese overhead and all around you the most brilliant of autumn leaves turning the landscape golden russet. All of this is available in Canada's Quebec province, but there's more. Fishing and quad adventures in the Laurentian region, first-class museums in Quebec City, and hikes through glacial valleys in Parc National de la Jacques-Cartier. Read all about your options at QuebecOriginal.com. Fall holidays in Quebec province are heady, sophisticated, and nature-rich. Read all about your options at QuebecOriginal.com. That's QuebecOriginal.com.
I'm Arthur Frommer. For nearly 60 years, the Frommer Travel Guides have been among the top bestsellers in travel books, and I think I know why. Though they are colorful and entertaining, they deal with travel in a serious manner. They regard travel as an essential part of a civilized life. They do not shy away from controversy. They take strong stands. They encourage their authors to be immensely critical, both pro and con, in reviewing travel facilities. And their only client is the public. The Frommer Travel Guides now deal with every major destination, and they are on sale wherever books are sold, either in bookstores or online. I hope you'll try one for your own very next trip. And with that thought in mind, I wish you a very hearty bon voyage.
77 WABC. Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. To learn more, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com or call us. Give us a call. 800-848-9222 is our number. You can also email us if you're shy. Our handle there, or address, I should say, is frommertravelshow@yahoo.com. Let's return to the phones. We have Olin calling from Queens. Olin, lovely to speak with you. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Pauline. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
Okay. At the end of the month, I'm going to be going to Bucharest for about 5 days. I'm just wondering, you know, what is the must things I need to see there? I mean, how is the food? Everybody keeps telling me how great it is, how inexpensive it is. I've been told it's called the Paris of Eastern Europe and whatnot. So what are your recommendations on the city?
Well, it's going to be less expensive than Paris, which is really nice. I don't know if it really will match Paris in the food department. There's good food, but it's probably not at the level of Paris. You have a lot of meat there. You have spicy sausages. You have fish from the Danube. You have lots of cafes. In that way, it's very much like Paris. A lot of people, one of the things you do is you sit in a cafe and you watch the world go by. That's a very Bucharest thing to do.
Would you think it's similar to, because I was in Budapest last year. Would you think it has like a similar vibe to it?
Yeah, I would say so. Jason, what would you say?
Yeah, you know, Budapest is also sometimes called Paris of the East because it's a sort of about, you know, in that the peak of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, these beautiful buildings went up. And so it gives the city sort of a visual language, a vocabulary that feels like it rhymes with Paris. And they also sort of adopted, you know, that sort of Western European lifestyle that Pauline's talking about with the cafes and an appreciation for the arts. So Budapest and Bucharest each sort of have that sort of they can in certain older sections have that feeling of something at the turn of the last century. So I do think you'll find some similarities. Of course, the Hungarians, you know, different style than the Romanians, a bit more influenced by farmland, a bit earthier and Romanians, you know, because Bucharest was such an influence. Can have a bit more of a romance to them. So I think you'll find them very similar, but when you get down to the details, you'll begin to learn a lot of their differences.
Are there like castles and stuff to see? You know, you had the whole Vlad the Impaler legend. Are there stuff like that to see there? Or
That would be outside the city. That's in, I'm blanking on the name of the town that's in, but a lot of people do take day trips to Vlad the Impaler, who was the he's the guy they based Dracula on. He has a very famous castle, and that's one of the reasons that people go to Romania today.
Yeah, that was one of my reasons.
yeah. So you'll want to go to that town. I'm blanking on the name of the town.
But you won't find it hard to find a day tour there because all the hotels will be trying to get you to go. It's such a popular place to go. Yeah. So that's that nice thing. We forget now, but you will be reminded at every turn when you're there.
That's great. Okay, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, sure. We have another call coming in. I'm not sure who it's from. I'm not seeing the name, but why don't we take it? Who are you? Nice to speak with you. Hello?
Hi, my name is Lori. I'm calling from New Jersey. You had spoke earlier about your daughter. She's doing a gap year this year. What's the program that she's doing? It was very interesting.
Well, for the first half of the year, she's doing something called the National Outdoor Leadership School. It's a very well-known organization. They've got programs all over the world. She's doing the one in Patagonia. And for, I guess it's almost 3 months, she's going to be learning new skills and challenging herself, with a group of about 12 other people. I think it's 22 altogether in Patagonia, but then they divide it into two groups, doing things like mountaineering and ocean kayaking, and they do a very intensive study of wilderness medicine because, you know, they're going to be doing some dangerous things, and so they want to be prepared should anything go wrong. And it's I think it's mostly for young people, but that's what she's doing.
Okay, that's very interesting. Also, I wanted to comment. Last year, I had my husband and I, we had a lot to celebrate, so we took our children. My son is 19, and my daughter is 11, and we took them to Italy. We started out in Rome. That was our first time for all of us to be in Europe. We started out in Rome. We did that for 3 days and 1 day in Florence, and then we went down to Pompeii and then did Sorrento, Capri, Amalfi.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun. Now the kids want to go back. They love it. They said that was their best vacation that they've ever had.
Wow. How old are the kids?
19 and 11.
Wow.
Last year, 18 and 10. And we've gone on vacation every year, mostly, you know, local or Florida or, you know, a lot of Caribbean, some cruises. They said best by far vacation ever.
Good.
So I incorporated some in the beginning. While we were in Rome, a lot of tours that I had planned on our time.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't with a tour group.
Right.
So we planned tours that worked with our time. And
that's the way to do it, especially with kids, because if you're on a guided tour, the kids are going to be bored. But if you do a couple of tours here and then you go off and get gelato and maybe shop and do what you want to do, that they'll have more patience for the tours. What I find, at least.
They loved it. So now they want to do the northern part of Italy, and I'd like to get, like, I'm thinking Venice and Tuscany and... I definitely have to get out to Pisa if I'm going to go back to Italy.
Right.
So what can you recommend as far as families? And even we flew back through Switzerland, and that was lovely.
Extremely. Well, yeah, I mean, wow. How long do you have?
I mean, how do you stop, right?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The thing is that I listened to a lot of people's advice, and especially having a teenager, they said, you don't want to make your vacation too long because your teenager is going to be feeling like he's away from his friends too long. So what I did
That's not a bad thing, though. I have to disagree. I think that, I mean, if you're going all the way to Europe, mm-hmm. You know, just the cost of the tickets is a big chunk
exactly.
of the budget. I would take a longer vacation if you can. Do 2 weeks so you're not rushing around. It kind of breaks my heart that you were only in Florence for one day
because mm-hmm.
There's
right.
so much more to see there. You may want to revisit Florence. You definitely want to spend 2 or 3 days in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
Venice is just such a feast for the senses. It's just an extraordinary looking place. No matter how many photos you've seen of it, it doesn't match the reality. If you want to go to Venice, maybe go up to the Lake Country, perhaps up into the Italian Alps.
Yeah.
You know, really very different. The great thing about Italy was it wasn't a country until, Jason, am I getting the date right, 1848?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
All the Italians are going to go, no, but it was in that zone of time.
Right. So these were different principalities and different states, and they had very different cultures, very different culinary traditions. And so, you know, you don't get bored in Italy when you go to different regions because they feel totally different. So if you go up into the Alps, instead of using olive oil, everything is cooked in butter and lard there, and it's less about pasta and it's more about polentas and other types of foods and a very, very different culture. So I'd say take the full 2 weeks and take some time just to wander around and explore. I think your kids will thank you for that.
Yeah.
Rather than getting back to the teenage friends.
Don't spend much time in Pisa. You mentioned Pisa. I would give Pisa a few hours because it's so crowded. There's not a lot to do outside of the UNESCO World Heritage Site, which is the Basilica and the Tower. Most of it doesn't have much charm. So a few hours in Pisa, don't have to spend overnight there.
So maybe like an early morning there. This way we try and beat some of the crowd.
And make reservations if you plan to go up the tower. You have to plan it ahead of time.
You know what a wonderful way to do Tuscany is? Why don't you rent a cottage for 4 nights or so and just take day trips from there? We did that in Umbria, and it was one of the best vacations ever with my kids. That way, you know, you have a home base. You can do a little cooking in the morning, so you're helping with the budget a little that way. And you can easily get to Pisa, to Florence for the day,
mm-hmm.
to other places that you might want to go to, and then come back to your little cottage. And for the price of 2 hotel rooms, or actually less than that price, you'll have a living room, you'll have a kitchen, you'll have 2 bedrooms, you'll have some room to spread out.
Right. Great advice. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a wonderful time. We have to take another break. Let me remind you all, our number again is 800-848-9222. Don't be shy. And before I go, I got to give a shout out to our sponsor, Allianz Travel Insurance. You know, they have travelers' backs. What do? They protect your travel investment for both domestic and international trips. They have plans that cover one trip or all the trips for a year. They even even offer car rental coverage for just $9 a day, which is much less than the rental car companies charge at the counter. If you want to find out about all they do, visit ALLIANZ travelinsurance.com. That's ALLIANZ travelinsurance.com.
I'm Arthur Frommer, and my daughter and I are co-presidents of Frommer Media, LLC. We call it Frommer Media because we use three different kinds of publishing to bring you valuable travel information. First, we present the weekly Frommer Travel Show on radio, whose candid advice you are currently hearing. Second, we publish travel guides, which we modestly believe are the best in the business. And third, we produce an online website called Frommers.com, which brings you travel advice that you can't find elsewhere. Its highlights are hotly opinionated blogs about travel, slideshows of valuable travel options, reviews of hotels and restaurants, and much, much more. I think you'll be pleased to add the tips and tools of Frommers.com to our radio show and our famous guidebooks. I'm Arthur Frommer.
77 WABC. This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
This week's program brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, travelinsurance.com. And let's get back to the show. We are chatting with you. You're chatting with us. You're calling 800-848-9222. That's the number that Dolores called. Dolores is calling from Clifton, New Jersey. Welcome, Dolores. So nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you very much.
So what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that I picked up a book called How Italian Food Conquered the World by John Mariani, written in 2011, and he has a chapter, you know, on El Dolce Vita and talks about your father.
Oh,
Arthur
really?
Frommer.
Wow. About how much Italian food my father ate?
No, he talked about him as a lawyer that was drafted into the army in the Korean War and stationed in Germany.
Uh-huh.
And he gave a whole background about
how the
Frommer
guides became
started.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting. Well, it sounds like a fun book. We actually have great articles online right now. We have one from a woman named Elizabeth Heath. It's on the cover of Frommers.com. It's about Italian food rules.
Yes.
About who knew there was all of this etiquette surrounding how you eat in Italy. So please do take a look at that. And thank you, Dolores.
Thank you.
We appreciate you calling and telling us about the book.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. I have a call from somebody who wants to go to Italy. It seems like we're doing an all-Italy show today. So why don't I take that call right now? Nice to speak with you. Can you give me your name? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. It's Pauline and Jason.
Hi, my name's Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi. I wanted to ask about the Perillo tours. I've wanted to go to Italy for the longest time, and I'm trying to get my husband to go. We're newly retired, and I'm just nervous about renting a car or an Airbnb where you would rent a place for a week.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that. Perillo is a fine organization. I know a lot of people who love their tours. But, you know, you're going to be with 40 other people in a motor coach. You're going to be eating at the type of restaurants that can accommodate 40 people all at once if meals are included. And that kind of breaks my heart in Italy. Because in Italy, that's a place where you really want to mangia at the places where the locals are eating. And the thing about Italy is they are no strangers to tourism. They are incredibly well set up for travelers just like yourself who are newbies, and they're such warm, lovely people. You don't have to drive. You can easily take trains from, say, Rome to Florence to Venice. You don't have to deal with Airbnb. You can do a hotel. We have a great guidebook called Frommer's Italy 2018. It's about to hit the stands, and you could easily plan your own trip.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I've been to Italy dozens of times, and I've never taken a guided tour of the, you know, for the vacation. I've taken spot tours, a guide of this palace, a guide for these streets, which I always picked up there. But you just don't have to have someone hold your hand in Italy, because they're so set up for tourists, and the trains will take care of all. And don't rent a car. I would suggest that. The streets are too narrow. It can be confusing getting around. You'll spend all your time worried about the car. So, there's another reason just to take trains as much as possible. It's really set up for tourists that way.
I hope that helps. Yes, Audrey?
It does. It does help. I was actually going to do the tour without the meals.
Okay.
So we could go on our own. And, like, kind of go and have our own meals.
Be a little careful, though. I don't know if Perillo does this, but a lot of guided tour companies, they have to take care of the motor coach. And what that means is they have to pick up a hotel that can accommodate a huge bus. And you won't find those hotels in the center of Italian cities. Often with these tours, you're out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
So you take the tour thinking, oh, I'll be able to get around by myself. I'm just doing this as a safety net. And you find yourself stuck.
Yeah. In a city like Florence, you're not even allowed to bring a motor coach into the center of town because there's an exclusion zone. In fact, when you take a tour, they park the bus a little bit outside of the city center, and everyone has to march in together and march out together. So it's not as important as you think.
Okay.
I hope that helps. Audrey. Thank you so much for calling. Let's take Jean. Jean is calling from Manhattan. And Jean, you're also going to talk about Italy, right?
I am indeed, yes. I must say first, I love your show.
Thank you.
We did exactly what you recommended. We bought a house on a charity auction.
Wow.
10 days in a town called Camaiore, which is near the sea. And that's what we did every day. We said we drove to Pisa, we drove to Lucca, which is a wonderful
Lucca, yeah.
Yes, and we went. It was a long drive, but we went to San Gimignano, which nobody should miss. San Gimignano.
Oh, yeah, that's an incredible city.
Yeah, and so we did exactly what you. And we stayed for long enough so that we could get up in the morning and say, let's go to lunch in Pisa. It was a wonderful. It's really a wonderful way to see those towns in an area that is. We went to Forte di Marmo, which is a wonderful town, and
By renting, you become a local for a little while. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the fun is not just that you have a home base from which you can take day trips. That's fabulous, but also you're going to get to know the local baker. You're going to get to know the local market guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to know the people in the pharmacy by the end of your week or 2 weeks when
Definitely.
You're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pleasure in Italy.
Yeah, and I like to say that in a place like Italy, a lot of those meats and cheeses you're not allowed to bring home, so it's your chance to cook. You can actually cook the things you buy at the market right then and there and try them in a way you wouldn't be able to if you were staying in a hotel. Jean, may I ask how you found this place to stay?
She wanted in a charity auction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a company, or was it someone's private home that they auctioned off?
It was a woman's home.
Oh.
And she donated it to the auction.
How
and,
wonderful.
I kept watching the bidding, and at the last minute, I put in my bid, so I won it.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, and my husband was watching the bidding as well, and he said, oh, somebody put in a late bid, and then he looked and he said, it was you. But I was not letting that get away.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
well
you
done.
Did the right thing. Well played. Well, we have to take another break. Before we go, let me say to Phyllis, I know you tried to call last week. We'll put you on as soon as we get back from these commercials. If anybody else wants to call, we want to hear from you. Our number is 800-848-9222. We'll be back before you realize it. What does Montreal in fall mean? Well, it could mean the September You'll Eat Festival, where participants graze among 64 pop-up restaurants and food trucks. Or it might involve taking a spin on La Grande Rue, the city's brand new observation wheel, which stands 60 meters tall above the old city. Or bike tours that take visitors into the gorgeous neighborhoods that outsiders rarely find. You'll find all of this information on mtl.org. That's also the place to learn about the new and spectacular Leonard Cohen and Jenny Holzer exhibits at the Montreal Fine Arts Museum, or Pop Montreal, which is one of the world's leading arts and music festivals, taking place in mid-September and presenting some 450 bands. There's never been a better time to try the adventure that is Montreal. To learn more about this exuberant city, visit mtl.org.
I'm Arthur Frommer. For nearly 60 years, the Frommer Travel Guides have been among the top bestsellers in travel books, and I think I know why. Though they are colorful and entertaining, they deal with travel in a serious manner. They regard travel as an essential part of a civilized life. They do not shy away from controversy. They take strong stands. They encourage their authors to be immensely critical, both pro and con, in reviewing travel facilities. And their only client is the public. The Frommer Travel Guides now deal with every major destination, and they are on sale wherever books are sold, either in bookstores or online. I hope you'll try one for your own very next trip. And with that thought in mind, I wish you a very hearty bon voyage.
77 WABC. Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
That's right. You're listening to the Frommer Travel Show, and we are taking your calls at 800-848-9222. Let's get right back to the phones. We have Phyllis from New Jersey on the line. Phyllis, I understand you tried to call last week.
Yes.
Apologies. Well, nice to speak to you now.
Nice to speak to you, and I look forward to listening to your show every week.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, I really love it. Last week you talked about unusual museums, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to share two with your listeners. Many of them must know about the Transit Museum in Brooklyn.
Yep.
On Skirmish.
Oh, it's great.
It's free, and it is a fabulous place where you do the whole history of the New York City transit system, where they have a real train that you can go on, and there's
many real trains, actually.
Yes, and they have a bus, a real old-fashioned bus. So it's a fun experience for adults and children. But this summer, we took our 17-year-old grandson to Chicago, which was an amazing trip, and we discovered this delightful little museum. The Federal Reserve Bank on LaSalle Street in Chicago has a money museum.
Huh.
It's mm-hmm. totally free. It is, you have to show ID, of course, government-issued ID, but they give you a 20-minute talk about, the making of money and why they make certain amounts of bills. And you go through this interactive museum, great for kids, great for grown-ups. They give you a sack, a little souvenir sack
yep.
of shredded money.
Shredded money. Yeah. I still have mine. It's fantastic.
Yeah. The bag is worth like $350, but of course it's all shredded. That you can take a picture with a treasure chest of $1 million. It was such a fun experience, totally free. And I would assume most people who visit Chicago don't even know about it.
Yeah,
open
well,
Monday
great.
To Friday, and
New
I
York
was
joins
whole,
in Trump Health.
Well, thank you so much
yep.
for letting us know.
It's right there in the loop near all the old department stores, really easy to visit if you're going down State Street. Hey, I have a
Absolutely.
Quick correction from last week. I said that the Hollywood Heritage Museum was where D.W. Griffith shot. It's where C.B. DeMille shot. D.W. Griffith shot about a mile east of there. So I just wanted to correct the record there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank
but
you
I
for calling,
I'd share
Phyllis.
That with your listeners. Very
yeah.
good to talk to you.
You too. Let's turn next to Rose in Flemington, New Jersey. Rose, you are live on the Travel Show. Thanks for your patience.
Yes. I'd like to talk more about trains in Italy.
Uh-huh.
They are so efficient, and in many of your guides, it explains how you have the Trans-Europa Expresses, which, of course, are wonderful for getting from Florence to Rome, and the food is exquisite, and I wouldn't do it any other way. I recently gave two books, the Northern Italy and the regular whole Italy, to some friends of mine who drove and were exhausted when they got back.
Well, there are certain parts of Italy that you can't see unless you either take buses or drive yourself. So
yes, this is true. But I think that what the fear factor is with most Americans is they have to have everything organized in these super efficient, like 2 days here, 2 days there, 2 days. If you do the 14 to 21 ticket, you can always add more on if you wish.
I mean, so this is a Eurail pass.
Well, yeah, with the Eurail pass, but also on your airline tickets, Should you desire to stay a little longer,
yeah,
you're going to have a much better time. Rushing from museum to museum with a teenager in tow is a nightmare. I used to sleep on the trains.
Wow.
Of all things. You know, they for a very modest amount of money, they'd make up a bed for you. Those train systems are divine. And in Rome and in Florence, when you go there, there is a desk for hotels. So you whip out your little Fromer book, and you say, oh, well, can I get a place here? They even have little buses which will take you downtown. You're not going to be stuck out there with the tour buses.
Right, right. So you're talking to the woman basically who called in earlier who was worried about doing this on her own. You're saying,
exactly.
Don't worry, it's
don't
easy.
Don't worry. And I happened to arrive there once during a leather show with a friend and wanted to spend quite a bit of money because we were doing all right. And they said, oh, well, we don't have that. But the oldest hotel in Florence, the Porta Rossa, has rooms, and it was really cheap.
Huh.
So there's a little shuttle bus came and picked us up, and we spent several nice nights there. And the thing is that when you go to these little, you know, older hotels or business hotels, there are always people there who are very interested in talking to you.
Yeah.
And you may end up going out having dinner with the leather dealers, which was the case. And then when the show closed, they said, come up and buy samples from us.
Just to give some background, Florence is known for its leather goods. So we're
right.
Talking about shoes and bags.
Oh, yeah.
And gorgeous things made out of leather. That must have been a fascinating time to be there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just a matter of they had all their samples, and they said, you can have these really modestly. And we brought back all kinds of presents. But the thing is that there's no element of serendipity in the American thought pattern. You know, it's got to be rock hard. We have to be in a rush.
Well, you know what it is, Rose? I think people don't travel that much. They don't travel as much here in the United States as they do in Europe. And so every vacation is fraught. They want to make sure that they see the best stuff.
Yeah. That has a lot to do with we don't get enough vacation time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get 2 weeks a year and already your mother lives in Baltimore, your sister lives in Texas, you already have to split your time with them. So they think, well, this is Italy. Got to squeeze all of Italy into 4 days. And that's how people do it, unfortunately.
Right.
It's really hard for people to just commit and focus on one thing and see it deeply because they don't know if they're ever going to get back. And until we change our vacation laws or our vacation allowances, it's going to be like this.
Yeah.
Except when you're retired. And I think retired people owe it to themselves to take their time because even if they rent an apartment, they've got to go out and sit down with people who are at the cafes. They will gladly include you in conversation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Turn around their chair and say, come have a drink with us.
Yeah.
It's a much more relaxed environment than Americans anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Rose.
And much
Rose,
more friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're giving great advice. It's such a friendly, warm, hospitable country to visit, as are most of the places in the world that travelers go to.
Frankly, we have to take
a break. Before I go, though, I got to talk about the dark side of travel, which is when things go wrong. Rose is giving us a very, very rosy picture, and I think she's right 98% of the time, but for those 2% of the time when things go wrong, you want a company like Allianz Travel Insurance to have your back. For example, if you get sick or if you need to be medevaced out, they can help you. If you don't have travel insurance and you have to be medevaced out of a country, that can cost tens of thousands of dollars. To learn about all of the things that travel insurance can do for you, for helping with lost or delayed luggage, travel delays, and more, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
77 WABC. The Fromer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. The Fromer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show, and we are so grateful to have you here. We have a little bit of time left, but we're going to try and squeeze in three calls. So let's start with Pat from Long Island. Pat, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show. So nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you, too. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to know the best agency to contact for solo travel by myself. What would be the best avenue, and what would you suggest for Europe, for United States, but what agency?
When you say agency, do you mean travel agency, or are you talking about a tour company?
Well, the tour company would be the best, or a travel agency, or both.
It's hard to find good travel tour companies for solos, because most of them do charge single supplements. That being said, I believe I read that Overseas Adventure Travel has waived the single supplement for many of their trips. They go to many places around the world. They have a good reputation. They have a bad reputation if you have to cancel. So do get travel insurance, because they're known for asking for a hefty deposit and then being a little recalcitrant about giving that back. But
I see that was Overseas Adventure Travel.
Overseas Adventure Travel. They're mostly geared towards older travelers. So you're not going to be traveling with 30-year-olds. It'll be mostly people 60-plus. That's either a plus or a minus. But Overseas Adventure Travel is one. Jason, do you know
Have you thought of Road Scholar? What do you think
good
of that,
idea,
Pauline?
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Tell her about Road Scholar.
Road Scholar used to be known as Elder Hostel, and they dropped that name because neither one of those words is appealing to people who want to get out and see the world in their experienced years. But it specializes in older people, retired people. They're probably – I don't know their policy on singles, but it's very easy for them, to hook you up with someone else who's going to be traveling with you so that you can reduce your costs that way and you can maybe room with someone else. But they go all over the world, and they do really interesting programs, too. Things that are, it's not just about sitting on a beach. They're going to teach you about the various places that they go. So Road Scholar, R-O-A-D, is another great place to look if you're retired and you want to travel.
I hope that helps, Pat. Have a wonderful trip. Call us back. Let us know how it went. Let's talk to Tom in New Jersey. Tom, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. My name is Tom, of course, from New Jersey. However, I'm handicapped, and I wear a full leg brace on one side, and I'm strong on my right, but I can't walk around. I called people like Perillo, Liberty Travel. No one makes any accommodations.
Well, what you need to do is call a specialist. There's a very good travel agency called Flying Wheels Travel for people with mobility impairments like you have. And they will find you tours where you're going to be able to do everything you want to do, but the tour will be specially designed to accommodate you. Flying Wheels Travel is a terrific organization. There used to be another one that I recommended, but unfortunately it's now gone. It went out of business. But Flying Wheels Travel is terrific. There's also a very good site run by a woman named Candy Harrington, who's a specialist in traveling with disabilities, and it's called barrierfreetravel.com. So look at both flyingwheelstravel.com and barrierfreetravel.com. I'm going to move on to Larry because we want to squeeze him in. Thanks for calling, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Larry, nice to speak with you. What's on your mind?
Yes, how you doing? I love your show. You should make it 2 hours. But anyway.
Tell that to WABC.
Okay. I plan on going to Portugal 11, 12 days, and I'd like to make a trip, into Western Spain, like a 2 or 3 hour, day trip or something. Because everything seems to be either in the central Spain or more to the east. Is there anything in the west that's close to?
You know, even Seville is close. Seville is close-ish to the border. However, the trains are not yet high-speed linking the two. So you could take 8 hours to get between, Lisbon and Seville, and that's not a day trip anymore. That's something you do have to do overnight for a couple days. That's the problem with there's a lot to see and do, but it's hard to get between the two because the mountain ranges and the train lines that exist.
Between the two countries, you mean?
Yeah.
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 So I would say instead of ducking into Spain, concentrate on Portugal. I don't think it's going to be worth your time. You're going to spend all that time traveling to see of anything of interest in Spain, I think. And there's so many fascinating areas to Portugal. Really, you won't run out of things to do in 2 weeks.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, terrific. Before we go, I got to announce some really bad news. This week, Turkey announced that it was going to be no longer allowing Americans to get visas to come to Turkey. There is a diplomatic spat going on involving a Turkish cleric who's living in the United States who may or may not have been involved in the last coup attempt against the government. But because of it, if you want to go to Turkey and you don't have a visa, you're out of luck right now. If you do have a visa, those will be honored. But if you don't have one, you can't go to Turkey. It's tragic.
We'll hope it changes soon. Yeah.
We have to say goodbye for this week. We're so happy you were with us. To those who are traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.